All those 80s Whoa. Colors. Couldn't see them.
You were missing out on those colors. Yeah. Everything was so neon.
Purple and turquoise Reeboks. I just thought that they were gray and darker gray.
Wow.
Hi, and welcome to Hey Bestie. We're best friends, Sarah and Kim, and we're introverts who like to talk.
It's a fun summer episode, and it's definitely summer because we're super hot.
Super hot all the time. I can't even do anything in the afternoon. I have these certain hours during the day, usually between about 12:30 and 6 o'clock.
Or like all hours?
Pretty much the entire day, yeah. Where I can't go out and do anything, or I immediately overheat. Or if I feel okay when I'm out doing anything, once I come back home, it takes me like an hour and a half to stop feeling horrible.
Yes.
Like I have a heat blanket on. It's
yeah,
awful.
Yeah. It's really, really, really hot. And terrible. And it makes me not want to do anything.
It definitely feels worse this summer, too. I don't know what it is. Usually we have a month, at least a few weeks of triple digit temperatures in Texas.
Yeah.
But this year it feels way worse. I think the heat index is just higher.
I
and
feel
there's
like
higher
it just
humidity.
Started earlier here in June. And then here in Dallas, it's been raining a lot, which, you know, like summer rain is terrible here
because the humidity,
all that means is humidity. Yeah. It doesn't actually cool anything down. And it's not usually as humid here as it is in other parts of Texas. So the rain has really made it worse.
Yeah, it's not just that direct sunlight heat. It's like that sticky heat.
Yeah, normally it's just really hot here. Like it gets hotter temperature-wise in Dallas than a lot of other big cities in Texas, but it's not nearly as humid. So I can handle it better. Even, I mean, honestly, I just run from my house to my car constantly. I don't really handle
yeah,
it.
Yeah, same. Because it's the same in Austin. It's much drier. Like, we both grew up in Houston, so we know what it's like to have muggy,
swamp,
humid, swampy, yeah, heat. Yeah. And that's not what this is. But it feels like that this year, and it's terrible. It's just yeah. so uncomfortable. Like, you can't, like, my nothing feels comfortable. Like, clothes, no matter, like, what you're wearing, just feels heavy and, like, too much.
Yeah, and it's always too much.
It makes me grumpy, too. I get in a bad mood if I spend, like, any more than, like, 5 minutes outside.
And, listener, you should know that Kim generally podcasts from a closet with the air conditioner off for you. We both have our air conditioner yes. off, but I'm at least in a whole room, so I stay a little bit cooler. But she has to get in a closet to block extra noise.
Yes. Minimal air circulation. Suffering for this podcast. Even more than usual, though. I feel like it's become a health hazard at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. So anyways, speaking of how hot it is, my suggestion is to just stay inside and never go outside. And also don't try and podcast because then you'll have to turn your air conditioner off. And one of my favorite things to do in the summer is just watch summer TV shows, which I guess you could call bad TV, but I just call them summer TV because for me, it's just like its own genre sort of where I have different expectations. And TV can get away with a lot more than normal for me in the summer.
Yeah, it's definitely
like some
not
stuff
shows
I'm watching in the summer. There's no way in hell I'm watching it during the, like, in the fall or something. But for summer, it's perfect.
Right. I feel like it's just, it's TV that they're definitely not putting on during peak, like, awards consideration time
right,
or anything.
Right. So one right now I'm really into is Zoo, which just started back on CBS. And
yeah.
So
I don't have CBS, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I only watched it. This is my first summer actually watching it, even though it's on, is it season 3 or 4? I'm not sure. But it's my first summer actually watching it because last year I had ankle surgery in the fall and in my drug haze afterwards, all of my pain pills, I watched all of Zoo and got really into it. And so now this is my first time where new episodes are coming on and I'm watching it. And I'm really excited because it is totally
season,
a summer show.
Yeah, I think it's on season 3. And I watched it too, but I didn't know Sarah was watching it.
Yeah.
I just randomly happened across it.
I would have never guessed you were watching it either.
Yeah, it was just something random that I saw on Netflix one day. And I was like, Zoo, I like animals. And of course,
yeah.
that's not a good reason to watch
that
show.
I saw it on Netflix too. And I thought like, oh, animals, like taking over the world. They're going to just be like rude to everyone. And I was totally into it. And
and
then I guess what sold me was the like seeing Billy Burke, who is Charlie Swan in Twilight. And I was like, oh, Billy Burke plus some rude animals. That's for me.
Yeah. I also loved that Billy Burke was in it. And then also there's a sort of like an outbreak element to it because it's like a disease that's making the animals
crazy.
Yeah, I know
we both really like movies like that, too, with outbreaks and like disease kind of stuff.
We do. So it makes sense that we would watch it, I guess, but it's not like exactly like a widespread, really big popular show.
Yeah, I don't really hear many people talking about watching it very much, but
it is really fun,
I really
though.
Like it, and it's very good for summer.
You have the CBS app, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got the, I got, what is it, like CBS All Access or whatever. I resisted and resisted, but I really wanted to watch that, the spinoff from The Good Wife, The Good Fight, and it's only on the app or on their like online subscription thing. So I got it, and that show is highly recommended. And so now I have that, and CBS seems to be like all over the summer show thing, because they're also the channel that does Big Brother, which I hadn't watched in 10 years or something. I haven't seen any of it because I did watch the first few.
We watched the first few together. Years, I watched through, I think, season 3 or 4.
Yeah. And but I haven't watched it since then. But then since I had the app, I saw like they now, since they have that, their subscription app thing, they have those live feed cameras are on there. So if you have the subscription, you can see the live feeds. So that's why this summer I decided like, oh, I'll try and watch it. And then I can just put the live feeds on like during the day whenever I just want some noise on the TV. Mm-hmm. And then I can like see what that's like. But so far, every time I've turned on the live feeds, it's just like showing basically nothing happening. So it hasn't really worked out. Like, there's a reason they edit the episodes to show some action, because honestly, like, most of the times I've turned it on, they haven't even been on the camera. It's been the live feed pointing at that like room where they're like hiding everyone from you because they're doing something they don't want you to see on the live feed. And this year they just have like a puppy playing in a room and they just show it.
That's funny to me because I remember they made a huge deal when they started the live feeds, because that was way back. What season are they on now? Aren't they on like 17, 18?
Yeah, it's been on a long time. I think it might be season 17. But
and I think it was like the third or fourth season that I was watching it that the live feeds came out as a thing, and they made a huge deal about it. Like, all this extra content. We'll even have like extra little competitions and games.
Yeah, I mean, there is stuff that people are really into it, and they see it, I think, and there's stuff on there. But just every time I happen to turn it on, it's like nothing is going on. Although I well, do know nice. Who is head of household this week, even though the episode hasn't aired to show who won.
Head of household. I forgot about head of household.
I saw them like walking around with the key around their neck, and then I knew like that's the key to the room. So I do know that from, because I turned the live feed and something actually was on and I saw that. So I guess that's fun. I don't know. But either way, it's summer.
Well, at least you have the app for The Good Fight, and that makes it worth it.
Yeah, The Good Fight, totally worth it. Another summer show I'm really into, actually I don't even know if it's summer show, but I did watch it after my ankle surgery, and like after you get surgery and you're on pain pills, that's the time to like binge watch summer shows. No matter what time of year it is, because you can't really keep it together, and you're on drugs, you don't know what's happening, you're in a lot of pain. So another one I got really into during that time was The Last Ship, which has, I don't remember his name, but the guy that was McSteamy on Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a Navy officer, and he's on a ship, and they think they're the last one. Of course they're not, because there's a whole show around how there's other stuff going on. But
did you just spoil The Last Ship and tell everyone that it's not actually the last
they
ship?
I think they find ship 2 like in episode 1 or 2, so it's not a spoiler. Like, that's the story. They're just
that's
like,
the epitome one? Of summer TV. The show is called The Last Ship, and
it's The Last Ship
episodes,
for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it. But Tim, let me tell you, TNT knows drama, so it's good.
I've heard that. I've heard that they do.
Yeah.
I'm not watching that one. You're definitely making me have flashbacks to when I watched Big Brother, though, and kind of making me want to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, the other day I was watching it, and I was like, one of the episodes that were on airing on actual TV. I mean, honestly, if this was September or October, there's no way I'd be watching it, but it's July. So here I am.
Yeah. You get a little more desperate in the summer for sure for TV.
Yeah, it's
in the
hot.
Time.
I'm just trying to lounge. I don't need anything serious. I can just watch people be idiots in a stupid fake house.
Well, something that you recommended has become my go-to summer show by default, and that is Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
Which here in America, it's called The Great British Baking Show because, interesting side note, Pillsbury owns the phrase Bake Off in the United States.
That's so annoying and so American.
So that, yes, like just, yeah, very American. And so they had to change it to Great British Baking Show. But it's the same show, and Netflix picked it up for, I think they're showing 3 seasons of it. And then you can also watch it on the PBS app, which you let me know about for free.
Yeah,
they're currently streaming
there's a current season on there.
Yeah. So I'm almost caught up with that. And I love it. And I've seen it all over social media, too. A lot of people were watching it and saying that it was a really good show just to escape and have something
that's
sort
how
of easy and light
it.
To watch. Yeah. And you started watching
it. People started talking about it, and they'd be like, oh, I'm so hooked on it. And I was like, why are people so into this? And I started watching it because of just seeing so many tweets, and it really is just so lighthearted and fun.
Yeah, I love it.
And I love it. And one thing I really like about it is it's not like traditional American reality TV where, yeah, it's a baking competition, but if it was ours, if we had invented the show, they would be like trapped in a house, sleeping mm-hmm. in bunk beds, like not being able to talk to their families, crying. They just go over there every weekend, do their challenges, and then they go home during the week. and they get to practice and they get to see their families and they go to their job. They live their regular life and then they just go for the weekend, like 10 weekends in a row or something. So it's just about the baking, which I really
Yeah,
really
there's
like
a pure competition element about it. And I don't bake.
Yeah, and not like in a mean way at all. It's like really nice.
Yeah, healthy competition. Yeah, and the prize isn't like $1 million. Like I was surprised because I'm so used to watching American reality shows that there wasn't a money prize at the end. I was like, oh, yeah, they get a baking
it's just,
plate.
You just win.
And I've noticed the seasons that I've watched, they've made more of an effort recently to diversify the competitors and put some people from different places and different backgrounds on the show. And I appreciate that as you get to know them.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to see why all these people bake. And some of them are very young. There are people that come that are like 17 to 19 years old. And then they have people all the way up into their 70s coming together because of their love of baking and nothing else. And then they get to know each other and they help each other.
Yeah,
and they're very friendly.
Like, play the game with the most like planned out sneaky backhanded stuff to outdo someone. It's just all about the baking.
Yeah, it's not about having like a villain and then some good people and people are scheming. It's just about like you have your favorites and people that you might like and you like their baking, but for the most part it's like you're kind of pulling for everyone. And even at the end of every episode when they have to say goodbye to one of the contestants, they get sad and everybody hugs each other and says goodbye.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to see. Like, there's no malice. There's nothing.
Highly recommend for any time you're needing something that isn't going to make you feel worse about how the world is.
Yeah. And even I wasn't familiar with the judges beforehand. Mary Berry, who's like a world-renowned baker, and Paul Hollywood, who are the judges on the show. I was unfamiliar with them, but I think that they're awesome judges. They give constructive feedback, but they're not mean. And
not
when
mean
they are,
mean.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like they, you know, they kind of like give the contestants a hard time sometimes and people laugh and people get sad too, you know, because the competition can get pretty stressful and they get upset and there's been like tears and stuff, but everybody, like the hosts and the judges, are really supportive. And
yeah, and it makes me want to bake, but unfortunately my kitchen is non-existent right now, so
me
I have to wait.
Too. Yeah, Sarah's going through a kitchen renovation and she
it's an
brought
empty
up
room.
The other day. It's currently an empty room, so it's in progress for sure.
Yeah.
But she brought up the other day that we should have a bake-off when she has her new kitchen. And I told her I need a lot of advance though because I have to learn how to bake. I don't know how to bake anything, so.
She's learned how to bake.
Oh my gosh, that show makes me want to bake a tart, which looks so hard.
And they make stuff constantly that I don't know what it is and I've never had it before. I've like a lot of the stuff I've never even heard of.
I just watched the lace pancake episode where they had to make a lace pancake, which apparently was from like centuries ago. People who were fancy would serve lace pancakes at their
I
parties.
I bet people in those Victorian romance novels I love so much were probably having lace pancakes.
Yes, that's what I pictured because per your recommendation about romance novels, I actually just started reading Sarah McLean romance novel.
Oh yeah, when you mentioned that to me, I started rereading it last night. So
like, oh, you did?
I'm rereading that book too because it was my first ever romance novel. And since you started with that one, it made me think like, oh, I should reread it. And now I'm rereading it and I love it.
For the listeners, it was the 9 Rules to Break When Romancing a Rake by Sarah McLean, the romance novel that Sarah recommended. And I think it's a romance by numbers. Is the series?
Love by Numbers.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Is the series. And I just started it. And it is really great. It's
I love
great
that
read.
You're starting your first romance novel is the same one that was my first romance novel.
Yeah. Well, you recommended, I think it was a new book by the same author in a new series that just came out. Or it was a third or fourth book that had come out in this newer series. And I wanted to read that one. But then I thought, I'll start with the one that Sarah started with and do the series and then
love
pick
it.
Up that one if I like it. So.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet they were eating those lace pancakes.
Yeah. I bet they were too.
I feel like they could.
Because they're very, very fancy, although they look really hard to make. So let's not start with those. We're going to have a competition.
I'm going to make one and my lace pancake is going to be so much lacier than yours.
Can we start with just like a sponge and then work our way up?
Oh God, a sponge. Do they just call every cake sponge?
I think so. That's why I'm saying that.
It took me like a few episodes to be like, wait, are they making cake again? And they just always say sponge. I feel like they say sponge when it's like not decorated and it's like baking. And then when it like is added together, it becomes a cake. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to talk to a British person.
I think sponge is like
out.
The component of the cake without the icing.
I need to verify with a real British person, but that's what I feel like from context clues.
Yeah, everything. I feel like we have a different word for almost everything they cook on that show.
Yeah.
Because they'll talk about it, be like, I don't know what that is. And then they'll show it. I'm like, oh, a biscuit.
Yeah. And not a cookie.
An actual biscuit. And
A
cookie is a biscuit. Yeah. You got to get used to the lingo.
But it's really fun to watch, though. So
it is. It is really fun. Thinking about other shows that I am watching this summer, I couldn't really think of anything. But then when you brought up Last Ship, was Last Ship on, because I know you watched it on CBS, but I think it was on Hulu.
No, it's TNT. No Drama, Kim.
Oh, was it on? Oh, sorry. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I watched it on
Hulu. Did you watch it on Hulu? Because I think I remember seeing the banner ad for it on Hulu.
Yeah, it's just him and a ship.
Yeah. It was a ship.
It's misleading. There is more than one.
There was only one ship in the banner because it was the last one. But now that Sarah has spoiled that for everyone, it's actually not the last one. Spoiler alert,
there's more than one ship.
But that made me remember that I've actually been watching a show on Hulu. I'm about 4 or 5 episodes in. Angie Tribeca, the show on TBS with Rashida Jones. And it's executive produced and originally written by Steve Carell. And it's sort of this ridiculously silly, Naked Gun-ish sort of detective show that is, it's so silly and goofy. I wasn't sure if I would like it because there's not really anything I can compare it to. There's not really many shows like that on TV currently. So I wasn't sure how I'd feel about it, but I started watching it and I think that I like it because it's very summer show. It has that element of silliness and lightness and I can just laugh at it and it's super goofy and obviously doesn't take itself seriously ever. So it's just, I don't know, the dynamic between the two main characters is like really silly and I have it on the background a lot when I'm working on my bullet journal or when I'm doing something else and I don't really feel like focusing too much on TV, but I want to have something on. So it's good for that. But then also just when I want to have something light and kind of just let my brain chill out for a little bit or just relax on the couch after going out to get some groceries for like 10 minutes and I'm overheating for 2 hours.
You have to recover for like 2.5 hours afterwards. Actually, speaking of something you put on while you bullet journal, lately I've been putting on Kimmy Schmidt because I fell way behind on it. So I'm like,
oh, I love Kimmy Schmidt.
So I've been watching like an episode each week or a few times a week when I am sitting down with my journal because I started a writing bullet journal too. So I have a separate one where I do a bunch of writing exercises in it and stuff and writing notes. So I work on that one some. And so I've been putting Kimmy Schmidt on while I do that. And that's a really fun, quirky show too.
Yeah, it is. It's very like quick fire joke. It's just jokes.
Yeah, and it's just full of joy and colorful and just really fun to watch.
Yeah. What season are you on?
I'm in season 2. So
okay.
Like after the, what he did, like there was like the trial of the person that.
Yeah.
John Hamm, you know.
Richard Wayne, Gary Wayne. Which, oh my gosh, John Hamm.
But that's a really cheery show to watch. I really like it.
Yeah, I love that character. That character makes me so happy. I love Kimmy. Side note, people called me Kimmy when I was little.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I ever told you that. When I was little, it was my mom's friends and like family friends and people that like babysat me between the ages of like baby age all the way through, I think like 8 or 9. All of those people knew me as Kimmy. And it was like bizarre later to come back and like see them and they were still calling me Kimmy and I would be
they were like, hey Kimmy, and you're like, what? My name is Kim or Kimberly.
Yeah. I mean, I went through that period where I was trying to make people call me Kimberly. I will admit that.
That's too many syllables. Calm down.
I don't know. It felt like I was like reclaiming my name for a while, but
oh, you're reclaiming.
It was just pretentious and dumb.
Well, speaking of childhood nicknames, whenever I was little, I feel like one of my cousins maybe had trouble saying my name. And I'm not positive, but I feel like that's where this came from. But anyways, my cousins on my mom's side called me Say-Say because they started saying Say and they like couldn't go more. So I think she just like doubled it.
And did you see them later when you were like 26 and they were like, hey, Say-Say?
No, I saw them consistently forever. And so they just started calling me Sarah like as soon as everyone could pronounce my name properly. So and then someone will bring it up every once in a while, though. Someone will call me that just as like a funny like Say-Say. But yeah. Recently, I saw this tweet going around that was about 5 movies you would take into a bunker if you had to like escape some sort of impending end of the world situation really, really quickly with like no time to.
Which has become a lot more likely recently.
Right. It's funny how these things go around. But yeah. So I saw this tweet going around. Everyone was sharing the 5 movies they would grab. Like imagining it's just like, I guess, DVDs. So you just physically grab 5 things, what they would be. And I thought of it last night. Late at night. And so I made a quick little note of the things that popped into my head. And then right before we started recording, I asked Kim what her movies would be. And so she thought of them really quickly without having time to like agonize over the list, because of course we could all spend forever getting the perfect list. But the point is you're in a hurry and you're going into your bunker.
Oh, what do you this grab? Was so hard. It was so hard for me to quick fire think of this. But it's a very specific kind of movie, right? It's not like you don't have to think of the very best movies you've ever seen.
Yeah, these are not like, oh, this won the Oscar for whatever, whatever. This is like the movie that you can imagine being in a bunker, watching for however long you have to be in that bunker.
Are we watching them on DVD or?
I mean, I'm watching them on Blu-ray. My bunker.
Are we physically grabbing? Oh, so we're physically grabbing Blu-rays?
The cloud has blown up, Kim. All you have is a Blu-ray player, and you've got a hand that can hold 5 cases. That's all you've got. What are they?
Blu-ray cases. So we're not bringing, like, VHS or Laserdisc into the bunker. No,
do not bring a Laserdisc into my bunker if we're in the same bunker.
Okay. This was hard because it's only 5, and I both struggled to think of any at first, but then once I thought of a couple, I feel like I had, like, 15 in my head immediately. So
yeah, it seems like you can at first it's like, oh gosh, what can those be? And then as soon as they start coming out, it becomes hard to keep it to 5.
Do you want me to just go through my whole list and then we can like talk about the movies?
Yeah, just share your list and then I'll interrupt you if I want to.
Okay, that sounds good. I just realized I had 6 things on my list originally.
Oh my god!
So I had to like quick fire be like, what am I cutting? But I cut one, so I have 5 now.
This is seriously a fast list. It's accurate.
Okay. So my first movie, the first one that I thought of, because I did this, you know, just now in order as they were coming to my head. I did Bridget Jones's Diary. That's my first bunker movie that I could imagine. You're laughing. Imagine watching over and over. My second movie was Twilight because I love Twilight. I can watch that over and over.
Because why can't you just watch that in the bunker a million times?
We've watched that before a bunch together.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have the Blu-ray, you're going to have like the extra bonus content. And so you'll have Robert Pattinson's like little commentary and Kristen Stewart where they do that commentary over the movie.
Oh, man.
And they're just like laughing the whole time and being like,
the Twilight, like, I'm not
laughing at his
usually
peacoat and talking about their like how they're wearing their own clothes and making fun of themselves, and it's really really fun.
I'm not usually that big on commentary, but the commentary on Twilight just elevates
so
the movie.
Good.
It's so good.
Yeah,
because Robert
really
Pattinson
funny.
Is fully aware that his character is ridiculous and weird.
Yeah, there's a whole genre of videos out there like on YouTube or Tumblr of him just like laughing at himself playing Edward Cullen, and
highly recommend
all these different things. And it's, yeah, if that was on a Blu-ray, I would grab that.
Yeah.
So funny. I could
so
watch
endearing and just really funny.
Yeah.
My third movie was Amelie, which is a favorite.
Oh, yeah. I would have guessed that you would pick that one.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And Moana.
Ooh, yeah. So what was the 6th movie that you removed last minute? Last second.
I removed it. I love this movie, but it was easy for me to remove it because I haven't seen it that many times, so I'm not really sure about its rewatchability. But I was trying to think further down my list of something that would not only be something that I would really enjoy watching over and over again, but would also maybe remind me of sort of human relationships and the goodness of people and things that I probably am not getting a whole lot of when I'm in a bunker. And I was also trying to think if there was a more recent movie, because these movies have all, well, Moana is pretty recent, but I knew that I saw something that I really, really loved last year and I couldn't think of it, but then I did, and it was Hunt for the Wilder People. Yeah, it was great. And it was one of my favorite movies from last year. So I initially had it on the list, but like I said, I've only seen it 1.5 times, so I haven't watched as much as the other ones.
So you're not sure it's bunker ready?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, if I had to watch it over and over again, I'm pretty sure I could do it, but yeah, I'm not as sure about its bunkerability.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's on your list?
Okay, so my first one, funnily enough, I also thought of first last night whenever I saw the tweet, and I just instantly tried to think of my list really quick. It was the first thing that popped in my head that I put in my Simple note where I was tracking this, is Bridget Jones's Diary.
That's why you laughed, because
I wasn't laughing at you for picking it. I was laughing because you were like, this is the first one that popped in my head. And that was exactly the same for me.
And we haven't really talked about it. Yeah, we haven't really talked about that movie.
Like, I guess apparently both really love that movie, but I don't remember ever talking to you about it. Maybe like very little. And then, I did talk to you about Bridget Jones's Baby. Is that what the new one's called?
Her overalls.
Where I talked about I wanted overalls because she had them. And like her general look in the movie was like, I like that. So
it's cute. Yeah.
We talked about that. I think that's the most we've talked about it. So I was just surprised to hear you say it. And then I thought it was funny that we both thought of it first. And
yeah, apparently we should have been talking about Bridget Jones together a lot more than we have.
And we've never even watched it together. We should. Yeah, that just
hopefully not in a bunker.
That was my first pick. Yeah, I mean, I will watch it in a bunker with you, obviously, because we'll have two copies unless we swap one of these out. But hopefully we don't have to go in a bunker anytime soon, but you never know. So, okay, so that was my first one. My next one was Pride and Prejudice.
And I would think you would pick that one.
Not surprised by that.
Yeah, not surprised at all.
The hardest part for me was deciding which one, because there's like the 1995 one with Colin Firth, mm-hmm. and then there's the 2005 one.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah, they're both really good. They have different reasons that I love them and that I watch them. But I eventually decided on the 2005 one because it's really beautiful. So then that kind of helped me narrow it down. I mean, the other one's nice looking, but the 2005 one is like beautifully shot. So
it
thought,
it's gorgeous.
I'm in a bunker and everything's kind of like blah and I don't have a window. Maybe I just want to look at that. Like, even if I'm not paying attention to the story one time, I could watch it just for like the scenery because it's just really, really beautiful.
That's why I love Amelie. I mean, you know, it's one of my favorite movies. That's why you weren't surprised probably that I picked it. But that's another reason why I picked it was because I think it's really
vivid. It's colorful. It's
bright. It's nice. It's really pretty. Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that the 2005 Pride and Prejudice is good for In the Bunker just because I like the story, I really like the movie and all of that, but then also it's a really pretty movie to look at if I'm in a blah blah bunker world for however long, watching my Blu-rays on a loop. So then my next one was Clueless.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's a total like teen years nostalgia kind of pick. I've seen it, I don't know how many times, a zillion times. I love it. If I see it on TV, it's probably like I'll have to like stop the channel and just end up watching it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's just fun.
It's a good romance. It's a good like coming of age movie. It's so quotable. That's a great one. It's a great pick.
Yeah. Which now I'm realizing after I've just named these first three movies that they're all related to Jane Austen somehow, which is like really on brand for me.
Yeah. I'm totally shocked that you would pick that theme.
So then my next movie is White House Down. Which I had to decide between White House Down and London Has Fallen. And honestly, I could swap them out either way, like either one. But I went with White House Down just because it's the first one. I don't know.
Sarah loves when Gerard Butler has to go save the world.
Oh,
in a major location with lots of explosions.
Yeah. Yeah. London Has Fallen. I really liked the whole like when everything starts like first starts going off in London where all the stuff is blowing up. I think it's really well done and it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, that's an amazing action scene. My favorite part of that movie was in the beginning when Gerard Butler's character says, I run on bourbon and bad choices. And he says that within like the first 5 minutes of the movie. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
This is going to be an amazing movie.
That really set the tone.
So, yeah, but I mean, White House Down is a similar feel, but it's in the White House. So I went with that one. What's the first one of London Has Fallen? It's a different movie, right? Yeah. White House Down is the one with Channing Tatum. And then
London Has Fallen is the other
White House movie. But I didn't like that one as much, but I do like London Has Fallen. But I'll still go with White
Olympus House Down. Olympus
Has Fallen. Yeah, Olympus Has Fallen. Yeah. But London Has Fallen, if you're going to pick between those two, London Has Fallen is the better one.
Yes,
I think sure. Just because it's I just think that London action scene is just
I just got my White House blowing up movies.
It's because they had two White House blowing up movies like in the same few months. But White House Down is one with Channing Tatum, and I really like that one too. So I went with that one because I figured I need like something actiony in the bunker, you know, mm-hmm. to keep the energy up sometimes. So there's that one. But if you happen to have an extra slot and you can bring London Has Fallen, whoever's listening to this, if you end up in my bunker, go ahead and bring it.
Let's just hope that those movies didn't become more like documentaries, and that's why we're in the bunker.
Oh my gosh, you never know.
Then it might
Survivor.
Then those movies might be the most depressing ones that we have, and we'll never watch them.
That's true. Oh no. Okay, so then my next one, number five, was Ghostbusters, the one from last year.
Oh yes.
So I've watched it a bunch of times and it's become just a movie that's in my like regular rotation of rewatching or whenever I just want to put something on, that's one I always think of now. I really, really, really loved Ghostbusters as a kid. So I watched the movies and the cartoon.
The cartoon
was
great.
I had the little Ghostbusters car that my Barbies rode around in awkwardly because they weren't the right size. But I definitely always wish there was a woman Ghostbuster because I didn't want to be like the sassy secretary. I wanted to actually do the busting.
No offense to Annie Potts.
I was really excited.
Who killed it in that role.
Right. She was really great. But last year's movie really worked for me, and I really, really love it. So I know I could watch that like a zillion times in my bunker.
Me too. I've loved it more each time I've watched it. And I don't have very many movies that are like that. But I love that movie
it's
more.
It's so good. It's so funny. It's just great. And I just really like it. And I feel like it holds true to the reasons that I loved Ghostbusters in the first place. And then it's just four women that I think are really great. So it makes it even better for me.
Solid list.
I had a few more that were really, really hard for me to not have on the list. So if my list could be more like, if it could have a few more slots, I have a few more that I would instantly add in.
Oh, yeah. Do you have some honorable mentions? But
yeah. So one I thought of was Big Business, which we watched last year.
Remember, Big Business is so good.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Lily Tomlin and Bette Midler in their two sets. They each play twins.
So they each play two characters.
Like swapped at birth. So there's like one of each twin set. And one's in the city and one's in the country. And then they like meet up on accident and they realize they've been swapped at birth.
It's a very like switcheroo, fish out of water, twins. Yeah. I mean, it's got all the elements of a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, love it, love it. So I really loved that. And then also You've Got Mail jumped out at me. I just love that, like, it's so dated now watching people like email each other or like sign on to AOL, which is pretty funny. So it's really, really dated in that sense because the internet has for sure just sped past that whole era. But I really like it. It was just that kind of rom-com, like Tom Hanks classic.
Yeah, classic. And Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan classic rom-com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm a big fan of that one. And then my other one would be Troop Beverly Hills, which I saw in the theater, and I was a Girl
Michelle
Scout
Long.
When I was a kid. My mom, yeah, my mom was my troop leader, and I remember we went to go see it in the movie theater together, and I really loved it, and I still love that movie, and it's really fun.
I have a lot of nostalgia attached to Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, sort of in that way. That may have been the one on the list that might have been the most surprising, I guess, that people knew me, but...
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have instantly been able to guess that. I mean, obviously, there are so many movies, so it's hard to guess anything, but I could have guessed, like, Amelie, but I wouldn't have guessed the Indiana Jones.
One of the reasons I picked it was because Indiana Jones is such an iconic character, and I thought that would be kind of cool to sort of just remind me of this, like, whole series and one of the characters I grew up with as a kid. But then specifically that movie was a movie that my grandmother showed me after my parents got divorced, because I was living with my dad, and my brother and I were spending a lot of time with our grandparents because they would start picking us up from school. And it was just kind of like a hard time, and I was bummed a lot about things. And I remember my grandmother had that. She didn't have a lot of movies at all, like on VHS, but she had that one randomly. And she was like, here, watch this adventure movie about a kid and his dad. And it's obviously like, that's not what you think of when you think of Indiana Jones Last Crusade, but it really is about a kid and his dad, like going on an adventure. So I always think that's really funny that I was first sold that movie, like under the pretense of like, it's a movie about a kid and his dad. But then I also just love Indiana Jones. And I remember going to Universal Studios when I was little and doing like the Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones adventure tour and things like that. So I love Indiana Jones. But then that movie specifically is just really, it's a good movie, but it's also just very nostalgic for me.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
I was surprised that you didn't pick Zoolander.
Oh my gosh. You know, my love of Zoolander.
You love it.
Runs deep. Yeah. I love it so much I have not seen the sequel. Very purposefully.
That's
so
sincere love.
Yeah, I do love it. But honestly, I feel like I could probably like lie down in my bunker and close my eyes and just watch it in my head without a problem. So I don't have to bring it.
You love it so much that you don't even need to bring your Blu-ray.
I probably don't. Like, it's so ridiculous.
I feel like Troop Beverly Hills is such a good one that since we have two copies of Bridget Jones, we can get rid of one of them and bring...
We're going to bring Troop Beverly Hills
instead.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like the Blu-ray of Bridget Jones will last. It's fine if we don't have two in there.
And we're in the same bunker, P.S.
Yeah, how did we get in the same bunker from so far away if it's like a last minute...
Well, maybe we had a little bit of notice. Maybe we had more than 4 hours notice so that we could meet up.
Okay. Okay. That's what happens.
That's how long it takes to drive to each other's places. So,
yeah.
I just noticed that 4 out of 5 of your movies have female protagonists, and mine do too.
Oh.
We both have 4 out of 5.
I didn't even notice that. That's funny.
That makes sense, though.
That's on brand.
Yeah. And it's nice that we have those choices now where we can bring people with us that we can identify with into our bunker.
Yeah, well, you're stuck in the bunker.
In our bunker that has a Blu-ray player and I guess an HD TV so we can watch our Blu-rays without losing quality.
Obviously.
These bunkers are like pretty wired up.
Well, in my head, the bunker is definitely just that bunker with Brendan Fraser from Blast from the Past, but like with a better TV and a Blu-ray player.
Okay. So they were built in the 1950s, but then after so much time went by, they were like, we have to upgrade these antenna TVs.
We have to upgrade the electronics in here so that whenever people show up. Because what if we like, you're like, grab five movies and get in your bunker. And then you grab like your Blu-rays and then you get in there and there's like no way to play them.
Because it's a bunker and you brought Blu-rays into a bunker.
Right. So the bunker has to have been upgraded at some point.
Okay, because we need White House Down in high definition.
We do, all the explosions.
And Amelie and Moana in bright colors, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Blu-rays and fancy TVs, so whenever that first started coming out, like HD TV and stuff that was just better picture, when that first started happening, I would be like, oh, I can't tell the difference.
Yes, me too.
And I would seriously just act like I can't tell the difference. I don't really care. But now if I somehow get stuck watching something that's not HD or like on an old TV, it's like the fuzziest piece of crap I've ever seen. It's so blurry. Like, I will think like my glasses aren't on. Like, it's so bad.
I mean, high definition now is definitely better than the high definition when it first came out. But when it first came out, it was still such a huge
And
difference.
I'd be like, I can't really tell, but now my eyes are like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I remember thinking like, oh, there's nothing wrong with my TV now. Why do I need a high def TV? I don't want to see everybody's pores on their face. I don't need to see that.
Yeah, now if I don't, I'm like, what's wrong with this thing?
Yeah, it looks fuzzy.
It's crazy. Like, it's changed so much. It looks so fuzzy. And then you think about it, and like, we basically watched fuzzy TV like almost our whole lives.
Mm-hmm. I had a black and white TV.
All those times we were watching TV, it was so fuzzy.
Okay, I didn't grow up in the 50s, but I had a black and white TV.
Oh my gosh.
At one point in the early 90s. My first TV that I had actually in my bedroom was a
color.
It's not a color TV. Which, I mean, thinking now, you would never buy a TV that wasn't color. I mean, is that even an option?
Where would you even go to get one?
I don't know. I think my dad just got it like a Target.
The place where they dumped them all when they upgraded the bunker.
It was a 13-inch black and white TV, and then I upgraded in the late 90s to one of those TV VHS combos.
Oh my gosh. Did your dad get a van and he gave you the one out of his van?
But yeah, I upgraded to one of those 13-inch VHS TV combos so I could record all of my episodes of Dawson's Creek and Making the Band. And all the other shows that my family wouldn't watch with me, I would set the little timer on my VHS and record them and watch them later. It was a real moment of freedom.
You're really old.
I'm aware. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can't contest that like 5 minutes after I admitted I had a black and white TV.
I can't believe you had a... Okay, but that's like not related to our age because I definitely did not have a black and white TV.
I think it was late 80s, early 90s, and they still had black and white available as like a really, really cheap option for TVs. Because we didn't have a lot of money. So I think my dad probably just like bought like a $45 13-inch TV instead of like the $80 color TV or however much it was.
You don't need color. You can still see it.
And obviously that's not even a choice now, but.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I watched black and white. Wow. I watched, what would I have watched? Black and white. Full House in black and white.
Okay, well, our bunker has a much better setup than Kim used to have. So.
So it's not so bad.
See all the colors.
It's not so bad. I would have really loved to have that bunker when I was like 11.
That's it for this episode of Hey Bestie. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to share your list of your five bunker movies, I'll include the tweet in the show notes so you can tweet it at us. We're Hey Bestie Pod on Twitter. Please don't forget to like, review, subscribe, share with a friend on iTunes. Have a great week. It's a fun summer episode. No, that's too much. I sound like I'm recording a cartoon. I sound like I'm like recording a cartoon character.
Sorry. That sounded exactly like the first time you did it. That was you like toning it down.